Welcome to Under the Radar, a show about independent iOS app development. I'm Marco Arment.
And I'm David Smith. Under the Radar is usually not longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. So where we left our heroes last, in the last episode of Under the Radar, they were in a mixed place. There was some sadness, there was some despair. There were hard times ahead of us, and it's interesting now, recording a couple weeks later, to revisit where our heroes are, and I think we find ourselves in a better place. And I think discussing how we got into that better place is helpful, and just generally, you know, an interesting way to kind of wind down this arc that we've been on for the last few months, because it's been an interesting summer. I think, you know, we knew going in, I think, with a big redesign that it was going to be an interesting summer, that there was going to be lots of work to do, that there was going to be hopefully interesting work to do, and we certainly got a lot of work to do. The interest has kind of gone up and down a bit, but it's been a very full summer. And I think as, you know, we're recording this, it's towards the end of August. I think we're probably a couple weeks away from when we get the Gold Master and, a release date for iOS 26. And it's like, you know, I feel pretty good about it at this point. It's been a complicated journey to get here, but I think the bigger story is that it sounds, from some other conversations we've had, that you're in a better place. And so how are you doing with iOS 26 over there?
I am in a better place now. I finally have some momentum going with the refresh. And I think one of the biggest things that has helped me is how little time I had this summer to actually do like a full redesign, and how many problems the system components have had, like just, you know, bugs, limitations, lots of animation bugs, which has forced me to scale back what I wanted to do. You know, I mentioned on this show about, you know, a month or two ago, I mentioned that I was going to adopt a tab bar design for Overcast because it seemed like that was where 26 was pushing us, and it was better for, you know, like the searchable stuff at the bottom, and, you know, better for a whole bunch of things. Well, I didn't do that. Turned out there were too many problems. It was too difficult. It was too much work. So I just didn't do that. I'm keeping the existing navigation structure. I was going to do a pretty sweeping redesign because the system has a pretty sweeping redesign. And I thought, you know, your app's going to look old if you don't do all these things. Well, I can do like a quarter of them. Like, that's what I've had time to do. And that's how many of them have actually worked out, is about a quarter of them. Yeah. So that was pretty frustrating, but also in some ways freeing that, like, okay, well, I can only do basically a refresh of the existing design, not really a full blown redesign. And then it also helped that in the intervening time, I've actually made some progress that I've liked. And that was not the case last time we recorded. Last time we recorded, I believe what I said was, I hate everything I'm doing,
sure,
which is very demotivating. Since then, I've done some things I like, and I've done some things that I think are better than what was there before. I still am not 100% there with everything that has changed in iOS 26, and I don't think I ever will be, but I've made some progress that I think is good and that seems like forward progress. That was not the case last time. And so I feel better about it now. And what I am delivering is not a redesign. It is not a rethinking. It is not a restructuring. It's a refresh. It's like a fresh coat of paint. It's like when you move out of an apartment and the landlord has to paint it for the next person. It's like they're not moving walls. They're just, yeah, putting a fresh coat of paint on. It's like that. I have a fresh coat of paint around the app. Not everywhere. So, you know, most screens are going to be untouched or mostly untouched. But little refreshes here and there. And that, in the meantime, I've been doing a lot of groundwork laying for future features. Not design related. You know, so things like, oh, I need to, like, you know, update the database on the server to have a couple more columns and a couple, and like an API to, you know, read and write them, and, you know, stuff like that. Like, or, you know, the client needs to be able to support this new, you know, RSS tag or whatever. I started laying that kind of groundwork also. And that has actually motivated me way more than the design has, because the design, like, updating your app to a new system design is a ton of work, but your customers will instantly take it for granted. Nobody will care except, you know, that very first week, people will be like, ooh, the app was updated to the new design. That was it. If you don't do it, they'll care a lot. And you'll get complaints, you'll get one stars, you'll start losing people over time. So it's almost like a, you know, it's like a forced, you know, kind of, there's a lot of worse terms for this, but it's like you're kind of forced to adopt the redesign without much upside when you do, but a ton of downside if you don't. That doesn't feel good as a developer. Like, I don't like doing that kind of work. I don't like being forced to do that kind of work, especially on a timeline. But feature work motivates me. Feature work is like, oh, I can't wait to deliver this to my users because I think I'm making a better app here. This is going to be really nice. I think they're really going to like it. I'm really going to like it as a user of the app. So laying groundwork for features as I, you know, get this design refresh out the door is actually very motivating. And I'm kind of spending the motivation I get from doing the feature groundwork to fuel my way through the design refresh, you know, drudgery. And so that has also helped a lot. So I am in a better place now, and Overcast will be ready in, you know, light form for iOS 26. Again, don't expect a lot of change here, but it will fit in better with 26 than the outgoing builds did. And then I'll have more time to work on stuff that we all actually care about.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's great to hear and to for you to have gotten to that place, right? And I think it's interesting, and I think a useful thing to emphasize that the part of the way you got there was just by sort of scoping and changing your expectations. That it was, you know, the part of the challenge you were feeling was that you had in your mind this big, substantial redesign, this massive, your sort of big effort. And that you ultimately didn't like, you know, the outcome of that and the process of getting there. And I think scoping it down to something that will feel at home on 26, but not necessarily be like the, you know, hero image catalog version of iOS 26 is great, is wonderful. Like is a perfectly valid solution to this problem that, I think works really well. And I think most importantly, it got you over that barrier of feeling stuck where you couldn't get on to the things that were actually exciting, that were actually interesting, that were actually going to make the app better and move it forward. Because I think that feeling is one that I've had many times where you have this like, oh, you just kind of feel stuck. And I think it's really tough as independent developers to feel that feeling because you don't have a lot of external pressures to necessarily get unstuck. It's one of the sort of the blessings and the curses of being independent is that sometimes you're stuck in a problem, and that could be, you know, in this case, a design problem. It could be a technical problem. It could be whatever kind of problem. And you can just sort of feel stuck in there. And I think finding a way out by changing the scope, by rethinking of the problem differently, by just taking some time and doing something else, talking to someone else about the problem, where often, you know, you're stuck looking at it from one perspective, and if someone can look at the problem from a different perspective, that can be really helpful. But it's a really awkward place to be. And it's just it's wonderful to sort of in a couple of weeks for you to now be in a different place and to not feel, you know, quite so sort of stuck in, you know, in a place that you weren't happy with. Because ultimately, in order for Overcast to get better, it needs you to be excited about it. That is just, you know, I think a lot of what I was talking about with you last episode was about that feeling. And like my biggest concern is that you would burn out your actual excitement about the product and about making it better. And that wouldn't be there. And if it's not there, then you have a real problem, not just like the, oh, you know, it's a bit awkward. It's like, oh, this is existentially problematic if you feel like you don't want to make the app better because there's this big barrier between you where you are now and where you are then. And so I'm glad we got to the other side of it. And that's really cool. And I think it's interesting, like so many apps in iOS 26 are going to have had this journey, because it's like, even for me, I have one of like WidgetSmith very much is getting the treatment similar to what you're describing, where it's more of a refresh, more of a adopting some new stuff, and it will feel different to users, but it is not really the full, like, iOS 26 app, whereas like Pedometer Plus Plus is the opposite. Like it is a very redesigned, like not like throwing, like moving everything, like I'm moving walls in your apartment analogy, insofar as it will structurally feel different, and a lot of visual things are sort of the hierarchy has changed a little bit, but I'm trying to keep the rooms, the room layout is hopefully the same so users don't get confused, but it feels very different. Like when I go back and use iOS the 18 version of Pedometer Plus Plus, it's like, what is this app? I don't recognize it anymore because I've been using the new one for so long. But you know, somewhere on that spectrum between those two things lies the, you know, sort of the sweet spot for every app probably. And so I think for all of us, it's been, you know, it's like find where we are on that, because whether we like it or not, iOS 26 is coming. And that's one of those weird realities of kind of just feeling like, you know, very often we're along for the ride and it's coming. And so we just have to decide, you know, how much we're going to do. But I think it's in many ways, it is better, I think, where you are now of the light touch update. You know, while I think last episode I was talking to you about maybe you can just wait until October and see what happens. Like this feels, which is the one that's the most extreme version of sort of not, you know, the lightest adoption you could possibly do. But I think a light touch adoption, but being there early, I think will ultimately be what I would recommend for most apps. Having something is better than waiting if you can at all possibly just do that light touch version.
Yeah, and I think ultimately the light touch is what most apps need. Like I think most apps do not need a sweeping structural redesign. Also, a sweeping structural redesign of an app as complicated as WidgetSmith or Overcast, to do that well takes more than 3 months.
Sure.
Like we don't have that time. Even if you knew exactly what you wanted to do, you know, on June 5th or whatever, and you started immediately and all the system components worked, and there weren't all these bugs, even then, you would still not have enough time. And that's even that, like, you know, I've found that there's a couple of 26 behaviors that still have, like, pretty deal-breaking animation bugs for me. And so I'm just, like, commenting those out. Mm-hmm. Like, simple things. Like, when you present a sheet from a glass toolbar, and you can use the navigation source stuff to, like, animate it in and out of that blob, well, there's a lot of context in which that still has critical animation bugs. So I just commented out those lines that set the source and destination on it. And it's fine. Like, they slide up from the bottom. Maybe it'll have to shift that way. It's fine. Like, there's a lot of that going on in my thinking right now of, like, okay, well, if I can't do this part, I'll just skip it. I'll maybe get to it later. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll revisit that for a point one or something. You know, whatever. It has been frustrating for me all summer seeing all these bugs and stuff, especially seeing them still not being fixed this late. But I've decided to just reframe that as like, well, now I have less work to do because I obviously can't ship that. So, you know, I guess I just won't do that and it will be fine. And whenever Apple fixes their bugs, I will re-enable those flags and whatever else and it's fine. But you got to be careful with that kind of thinking though. Like, it can be easy to start with that kind of thinking and say, well, this is too buggy, I can't ship it, and to apply that to all of the liquid glass stuff or to sure. The entire, I'm just not going to ship anything in this design. Like, that's not a good idea. You know, but find something you can refresh in your apps and get it done, because again, people will expect it, and you will start losing people if you, you know, just kind of dig your feet in the sand and say, I'm just not going to do any of this stuff because it's not good. You know, that's not a productive approach. It's not gonna, and it isn't going to serve you well.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've taken very much the approach this cycle of like just absolute pragmatism in all of my adoption of these new features, that if whatever expectation I have for myself and how something I feel like should work for whatever like should is, I don't really, you know, which is a very subjective, very complicated thing. But if I find myself working against the grain that the system wants you to do, or if something just doesn't quite work, I'm just doing the straightforward implementation, the basic version of something, and moving on for now. And like, I have a bunch of, you know, sort of like the pound warning markers in my code that's like, you know, come back and check this in the gold master, essentially. Like, come back and check this, try this out, see if this works. And it's been much more productive rather than sort of just keep bashing into a wall if something feels like it's just isn't working right. It's much been much more productive to just be like, okay, that's the way it's going to be. I was just, you know, I was doing some work with custom segmented controls, trying to do some stuff, you know, things that were a bit liquid glassy. And in the end, I was just like, you know, this isn't going to work. I'm just going to go switch over to the system component, and it works much better. And maybe some time down the road, I will revisit those controls because I think visually they could be a bit more at home in the broader design. But, you know, for right now, that's fine. And I think that's served me well in terms of keeping me slightly sane in this process, because there were definitely some times where, like, I felt myself losing, you know, so sort of you hit a problem. And then there's the working on it for, you know, maybe an hour, 2 hours. And you find it's like turning into a half a day. And sometimes I would let myself run away with that problem. But this summer it was like, no, if you hit that point, it's like immediately like pull the ripcord, do whatever is the most pragmatic, straightforward thing you possibly can and move on. And that has allowed me to get to, I think, the place where, you know, both my apps, I think, will be ready in the couple of weeks when, you know, the GM ship. And that's exciting and a wonderful, I feel good about that accomplishment. And I don't think I would have gotten there without being just incredibly pragmatic and not trying to, you know, do a lot of this work to work around a constantly moving target inside the, you know, the SDK. Or if there are weird issues or bugs, like, just, you know, sometimes I'll just file my feedback and move on and have a workaround. Because usually there is a workaround, and whether that's, changing the way you design a feature, the way it works, or making it simpler, like, there's usually a way that you don't have to do it work. And if you're stubbornly stuck to some preconceived notion about what it's going to be, like, you're just going to end up being stuck and, you know, probably not be able to ship as a result.
You know, and I think it is kind of helpful in some way to look at the time crunch and the you know, kind of instability and beta-ness of this all as, you know, trying to find a silver lining. Like you mentioned a minute ago, you know, just kind of bailing out of a custom control and just going right back to the system control. I faced a similar issue, you know, Overcast's playback speed control, since Overcast 1.0 has been a slider, and it's been a custom slider the whole time, you know, where it's like, I'm still using, you know, UI slider / you know, Swift UI slider. But I customize like the labels around it. And so, you know, the speeds that go like, you know, from 0.75 to 3x. And I've had this custom layout the entire time. Well, the Liquid Glass native slider has the, you know, a lot of kind of weird oddities to it and glitches and weird animations and stuff that just really did not fit. And I literally took 30 seconds diving into it, and I said, you know what? I'm out. It's now a stepper. It's just, it's, you know, the little plus minus button and the value.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. 11 years of this slider. But I'm like, you know what? I know the amount of work it will take, and it's not worth it. So I decided, you know what? This is a silver lining opportunity. One of the reasons that I couldn't like add a bunch of speeds is that they wouldn't fit. The labels wouldn't fit. Now I have more room. So, you know, in the next version of Overcast that uses the stepper, it has a 0.5 speed, so it has like one more on the bottom, and it has more speeds between 2 and 3. Which have been widely requested. So, you know, I'm turning it into a silver lining. Having to bail out of my custom control for practical reasons now has enabled me to add some features people like. And that's fine. Like, you know, some people will miss the slider. That's fine. But, you know, I think this was the right move for me, especially for now. We are brought to you this episode by Incogni. Almost everyone experiences spam robocalls from time to time. If you ever wondered, how do they keep getting your number? The answer often is data brokers. This is where Incogni comes in. They reach out to data brokers on your behalf, request that your personal data be removed, and then they deal with any objections from the data broker's side to keep that process going. Incogni has an individual plan which will send repeated automated removal requests to all the data brokers they can find and people search sites. And with the family and friends plan, you can add up to 4 loved ones to your annual subscription and keep their personal information off of data broker and people search sites too. With Incogni, you can protect your privacy in 3 easy steps. All you do, you create the account, you grant them the right to contact data brokers on your behalf, and then you're done. They get to work getting all of your data opted out of all these data broker sites. It's a great service. Incogni makes protecting your privacy easy. It would take you hundreds of hours to do this manually, even just one time, and they're doing it continuously. Let Incogni take the work off of your hands. Visit incogni.com/radar and secure your data today. Sign up and enjoy a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your privacy with Incogni and experience peace of mind knowing your personal information is safe. Take your personal data back with Incogni. Use code RADAR via the link in our show notes and get a 60% off discount off your annual plan. Check it out now, incogni.com/radar. Our thanks to Incogni for their support of this show and all of Relay.
So something that I just wanted to touch on briefly towards the end of this episode is I had the delightful opportunity to go to one of the workshops that Apple was offering about iOS 26 and Liquid Glass. And this is a new thing, as far as I know, that they, I don't remember this kind of format being something that I've seen before. And it was just, it was a really positive experience that I wanted to mention. It's at this point, I think all of the workshops that they were doing over the summer have essentially happened. I think as we're recording, there's maybe one more next week in Cupertino, which I have no idea if you could be able to sign up for, get selected for at this point, even if that was something that was possible. But, I wanted to mention it just insofar as if this is something that Apple offers in the future, that you just sort of my experience there. And, yeah, overall, it was exactly, I remember for years, I feel like at the end of every WWDC, so many of us will have sort of a comment along the lines of the labs are super helpful, but I wish they happened later in the summer because then I would have all my actual questions, all my real like draft designs and my implementations of things, and would be working rather than on beta one, I'd be working on like beta four, beta five. And so I would have a much better, all the APIs would be available and it would be so much more helpful. And for a variety of practical reasons, that's just not the way it's worked out. This workshop that I was able to go to felt very much like that dream realized. It was great. It was super helpful. It was essentially, you know, a couple of days with Apple engineers, Apple designers who were there to help me answer my questions and to help me work through the issues I had, to validate my ideas. If I ran into things, I could ask, you know, so there's a lot of sort of like, is this intended behavior? Is this a bug? Kind of things that you can much more quickly do and work through. And so it was super helpful. And so if Apple offers these again, I would strongly encourage anyone, who is able to and has, you know, sort of the means to get to whatever one of these there is, to give it a try, to apply to it. I mean, I don't know how it's complicated from ACE. I don't know how selective it is or how complicated it was to get. I was, you know, I applied and I got in. And so that's all I can say on that. And that's in some ways, but it was super helpful. And I really hope Apple continues to do this. And like whatever we get next summer, if, you know, in the August following, there's a workshop to help us improve our designs and to react to that, like I will absolutely be looking to go to it because it was just a super productive way to take the work that I'd done in June and July, validate it, refine it, know where the issues are coming into the last couple of weeks of the summer to feel in a good place. And the people who were there were incredibly helpful, who were incredibly knowledgeable. And I feel like it just short-circuited a lot of these open loops that I had at the end where, you know, I've been saying I've been brutally very pragmatic and like pushing off some issues and doing these things. And it was very helpful to be able to more definitively say like, yep, this is a problem, or no, it's not going to problem, or ooh, you're thinking about this wrong. Like there were a couple of times when I would have a conversation with, you know, one of the people who was there and they're like, yeah, I see why you thought that, but that's not right. And so that was just super helpful. And I just wanted to mention that here that, you know, like I said, it's probably not helpful for this time, but A, it was, you know, the people who were there were amazing. And if you have an opportunity to do one of these workshops in the future, I highly recommend it because it really felt like this thing that we've been asking for years to finally happen. And so it was really awesome.
That's great. Yeah. Occasionally Apple's developer relations team will do some kind of experimental thing like this, like, you know, like the tech talks back in the day, which still occasionally happen. Yeah. That kind of started as one of these kind of, you know, developer relations experiments one year, kind of having like a mini WWDC sometime outside of the summer, you know, some other part of the year. And they're almost always like, if you had the opportunity to go to one of these things, they're almost always worth going to. Like it like definitely try if you can benefit from it and if you can go. And I think this shows, you know, you mentioned earlier about like the problem of labs being, you know, days after you've gotten everything for the first time, you don't really have all your questions yet. Now that WWDC is pretty much entirely virtual, you know, with a little asterisk on it, but pretty much entirely virtual, maybe it would be good for the developer relations team to set up some kind of basically labs for a few days, also in July and August, because that gives you time to be working with the stuff over the, you know, over June. And, you know, so still keep the lab format, you know, with like the chat labs and stuff like that. Still keep that for the couple days that we have the betas, you know, at first in June, but have like a lab revisit something where after working with it for a month or two, you can still have questions answered, because things change over the summer. And it is very difficult as a developer to come up with good questions in those first couple of days that you're in a big rush trying to just ingest everything and try it and download it and build your stuff and see and fix like the big fires that come out first before you even get to the smaller ones. So maybe that would be worth considering, like, you know, why, now that we don't have this forced in-person constraint for that 1 week, why does it have to only be that week? And I think the success, I hope, of these design sessions they were having, I hope that might show them and maybe be able to, you know, convince whatever higher ups need to be convinced that this has a lot of value to also have something later in the summer. You know, do a few days in July and a few days in August. It would help a lot, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Exciting and just say from experience, I think it is also just, it was nice to feel the, I don't know what I say, it's like the care and to get Apple's attention. Like, I mean, it's just maybe the straightforward way to say it. Like, it was nice to have that attention. And I think it's cool. I think developer relations is a very complicated thing, I'm sure, where like there are, where they, you know, they have these things where there's like a million developers and all these things. And so it's hard to scale some of these experiences that they don't necessarily go wide in that way. But it's just great to see that. I was just very glad to see that they're experimenting and they're trying new things and they're doing things to make it better to be an Apple developer. You know, to see that it's almost a weird way. It's like that, you know, they're trying to make our life easier. Like anyone who's within the Apple developer relations organization, that's their goal. Like this was an example of that working, and that was great. And like more of this, please. It was really nice. And I think online labs, I think improvements to the forums, like you can imagine so many different things. And I think it's easy sometimes to get stuck on all the things that there are many frustrations of being an Apple developer still. But whenever there is an opportunity to, you know, to see movement forward in a practical way, like it's great. And I wanted to highlight it here because it was great. And it was super helpful.
That's great. Yeah, I would have gone if I could have. I could not have, unfortunately. But I'm happy to see them, you know, doing these experiments. That you know, Apple doesn't think that their developer relations problem is just 100% solved forever. Like, they're trying new things. That's a great thing to see. You know, the developer relations team is small, as you mentioned. You know, like, the scale is a problem. And that's why, also, travel is difficult for people and impractical and expensive, too. And so, that's why, like, I'm hoping to, by all means, do events like this. But the more that they can replicate the all-online format for everyone during WWDC week, the more they can replicate that throughout the rest of the year, the better. So if they can have, like, those, you know, like what I'm saying earlier about the labs, I'm talking about virtual stuff. That way, everybody who has a question can have a shot at it. And, you know, by all means, keep doing in-person stuff, too. That's great, too. That has different benefits, but it is, of course, naturally very limited. But the more they can do virtually, the better, because that serves everybody. And, you know, devoting some of those resources to maybe making things more public would also help in terms of, like, the result of, you know, any kind of, like, public labs. Like, those should be posted. Those should be online. Those should be searchable, you know, as long as it's not confidential one-on-one stuff. There's a lot of value to be had there, and I'm glad to see them continuing to experiment in that direction.
Yeah, and it's great, I think, to now have, like, I'm just thinking of the contrast between our last episode and this one, where it's like last one we ended in despair, and now we're ending with some positivity, with some progress. And I think, I guess maybe in some ways, like, the lesson that sticks in my mind is, it's like, so often you just got to keep moving. It's like, and things will get better. And that is a lesson in many parts of our life, but in development as well, that if we just keep working, eventually things get better.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.